All right. Welcome back to another off-season version of the Coast to Coast to Coast podcast. I am Chadley. I am your host, and I am joined as usual with some of the coasters from all over the country. Up north on Lake Erie, back in Cleveland, we've got the delivery man, Chip, and we've got the counselor, Jim. And out east, to have Dale, the broker, but he popped off for a second with some technical difficulties, so hopefully he's back on here pretty soon. We have a kind of loaded show today, including the Browns having a new quarterback in the building, the Cavs kind of dropping down hard in playoff contention and trying to fight their way back in. We've got free agents coming into the building and a couple of trades for the Browns. And then we've got some speculation on what we might have to do in the rest of free agency and this upcoming draft in order to complete this roster and get us ready to go. And along the way, of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about what we're drinking, what we're doing, how we're feeling, and hopefully we have a little bit of a good time. So how is everybody?
Well, gentlemen, it's good to be back. Good to talk to y'all. It's been a while.
Like that's the official sound of the Coast to Coast to Coast podcast.
Right on. Well, yeah, we're doing good here in Cleveland, and weather looks like it was cold here the last couple of days, but sun's coming out and warm weather's right around the corner.
So yeah. Did you guys, I haven't kept up since I left, but I was posting on Twitter a little bit. I was in Cleveland for a wedding about 2 weeks ago, and holy cow, I left San Diego to the exact same weather in Cleveland, and talk about luck that week being there. It was there for like 5 days, and three or four of them were just absolutely beautiful. I was blown away by the sunshine, the blue skies, the warm weather with a little bit of a breeze. It was amazing, and I feel like I got out just in time because it sounds like it got pretty crummy
you
after.
You did bring in the nice weather with you and Kat, Jed, so thank you for that. But after you left, it got cold and snowy again real quick.
Yeah, go figure when I'm on spring break, that's when it comes in.
Is it spring break now?
Yep.
I didn't know that. I knew it was some places, but I didn't realize kind of the schools were doing it right now over there.
Yep, that's me on spring break.
Just enjoying the fun and sun, huh?
You know it.
All right. You're not doing anything, huh? You're not going anywhere.
No, not going anywhere.
Getting too old to go
those
anywhere.
Those days are over.
Yeah. Even if it's a break from work, it's like, ugh. Yeah. Getting old is a bummer. Hey, welcome back, Dale. We were just talking about how great the weather was in Cleveland while I was there and how as soon as I left, the storm clouds came in to take over.
That's basically what happened in we went to Florida snowing the week before we left, and then leaving Disney like the next week, like one of for the first time in like 50 years.
Oh, dude, I'm so jealous of your Disney trip. Tell me about the cantina. Tell me about the cantina. That's what I really want to know.
That is awesome, too. And you know what was really pisses you off?
We'll have to do that. You only got an hour, so we'll have to.
Only one person doesn't appreciate the cantina here out of the three of us talking about it, and it's the one that went to it. What a jerk.
I don't know shit about Star Wars.
I know, but I knew you weren't going to say amazing. Anything. Yeah, I was pretty jealous. I think that's pretty amazing that they put that whole like Star Wars world together.
That is the one thing that I told, like, Roger goes and his family go every year to Disney, or they have the last couple and they're going to keep going. And they're like, I don't really care about Star Wars. I'm like, honestly, it doesn't matter. Like, it's so over the top and overdone, like detail wise and everything, that like if you don't care, like they would still appreciate like how ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. When you order a drink, does a giant fly looking man look to you and go, I have the death sentence in 10 systems.
All of the drinks are super weird. There's one that makes your mouth feel just numb, like as you drink it, which is kind of weird and cool.
I like it.
Stephanie bought me It's a Wrangler beer flight holder. I'll send you guys pictures.
Oh man, that's awesome.
It's like a full ceramic, and it's so it's Rancor teeth. So the four like flight glasses are teeth, and I kept almost setting them down, but you can't because they're teeth. They're like cone shaped. But it was really cool. And we got like two high chairs for our kids to sit at the bar. And he's like, yeah, we don't have to do this that often. I'm like, but you got them, so go get them.
Right.
That's pretty cool. All right. So we are back to weekday drinking for the podcast. What are you guys sipping on today?
I got myself a glass of Michter's Small Batch Bourbon.
What is that? I haven't heard
that. What do you think of that? Because I have an opinion.
It's not great.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad you agree, because it was recommended to me, and I was excited and then quickly disappointed.
Yeah, me too. So when I bought this like right when COVID happened in like 2020 or whatever, it was like,
and you still got it.
Yeah. So I went through a lot of bourbon. There wasn't much going on. So I went there and I was talking to the guy at the counter, and he was like, yeah, he's like, this is kind of like a hard one to get. It usually sells out like real quick when we get it. So I bought it and I was like excited too, because I like the American Revolution, and I'm like, everything on there was talking about like the revolution and like the recipe and all that. I'm like, well, fuck yeah, this is going to be cool. And I tried it and man, what a letdown.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's just not.
Not something I would. I'm just drinking it to get rid of the bottle.
Yeah.
Funny that you would say that, Jim, because I think I commented on it when I was down in the basement by the bar that I had never had it, but I've also had people recommend it to me. Like, this is one.
Oh, shit, Chad, you should have told me, man. We could have drank one.
Yeah. People are like, if you like bourbon, you're really going to like this. And I hadn't gotten to try it yet, but it makes me nervous to buy a bottle if.
Yeah, it's one that people always say, like, because I don't know if it's just because it's hard to get or what, that like people get that in their head, like, oh, because it's hard to get, it's got to be good. I'm like, it's definitely not.
But I bet that Ohio Lottery one is good.
If you drink that without me, I'm going to be so mad, since I was right there.
What was that Ohio Lottery one? What was the name of it?
Eagle Rare 17.
Eagle Rare 17. Always goes down good.
That's a better one, probably. Better name too.
I want the Pappy too. Like, I want to go, because when Chip sent that text with Char and how they have Pappy there, I want to go just to see like how much, because I know they do 1 ounce pours, and I want to see what they're charging, because they like for the Eagle Rare 17. For a 1 ounce pour, they were charging $90.
That's crazy.
Woof. Yeah. That was also something. I mean, like, I paid $100 for the bottle. I was almost thinking about like just going there, paying the $90 just to see if I like it, you know, like if it tastes like shit.
You're checking on your investment there.
I'll tell you what, Jim, you let me know when you go, I'll go with you and I'll get a shot.
Yeah.
It's a 1 ounce. You can share one. I'll drop $100 on one shot. I just want to say I did that. I'll say, give me a drink for $100. I'll wear a nice jacket. I'll wear a suit jacket in there to get it.
Chip, I would rather. I mean, like, so, like Dale said, like checking on the investment. Yeah, but like they also have Pappy there too, and that's like another one that I would really like to try, because I know the chances of getting a bottle is probably
the Pappy bottle. Yet. The one that I had on the lottery, the 23 year. I think the retail, it would have cost me like $350 for the bottle.
Yeah, but don't do they,
Jim? Jim, do me this favor though. When we order that $90 drink, I order a Bud Light to wash it down.
And we should go in there with monocles.
Yeah. And absolutely. Then also, give me a follow-up on the Bud Light, please. And what year is this Bud Light?
Put that Bud Light in a frosted glass, would you? Yeah.
One ice cube.
Yeah.
But oh yeah, like, Dale, for the Virginia lottery, do you because like for the Ohio one, they have the list of the bottles that they're raffling off, and you pick like which bottle, or you can just say all of them. Did you pick like a specific bottle?
So they do it individually, but I mean, I just it was only those three. It was three different ages of Pappy. It was 15, 20, and 23.
Yeah.
And so I put in for all three of them. Okay. And when they sent me my disappointing emails, I got three individual. And it was actually interesting that they tell you how many people entered and how many they gave out and everything. But
wow, they're doing it way better than Ohio. You don't even know. Dude, my mom barely found out that she won. Like,
They sent emails, and then they actually clarified how many went to individuals and how many went to like retail. And I assume retail actually meant, maybe it meant stores or like actually bars or restaurants that won as well. But
I know a lot of times
the number entered was different.
A lot of times they take those and they give them to nonprofits for like charity raffles so they can raise money.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea.
All right. Man, I feel like this group could talk booze for the longest time. We're going to do one off-season just booze podcast.
So we definitely
anybody should. Else drinking anything? Anybody else drinking anything?
Fuck it. Fire it up right now. Let's do it.
I know, right?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I wish I could tell you I was drinking something good because I had I was all excited to share with you guys my new smoked simple syrup. Vanilla clove, and
Jim,
I'm
excited for that.
I know, I Jim, I am equally excited, and I really want to share with you guys tonight. But I went ahead and started cracking some Bud Light, so I already started.
Oh, same thing.
It's never coming off the tracks.
Here's the thing: once this train starts putting coal in the fire, you roll with it.
He's sitting there in a white tank top and tiny whiteies with the Bud Light in his hand.
Just clip my toenails.
All ready to go. So I actually did go with the recommendation from the lady at the liquor store, and she had recommended Old Forester 1920, which I hadn't had before. And I know we talked about this before, like somehow Virginia has like a liquor shortage that is affecting nowhere else but this state. So our shelves are like almost always just empty. And there was like one bottle, and she's like, I recommend it. It's really good. I'll trust you. I was like, I'll trust you. And then I bought it, and I was like, man, I really hope I don't like this, because this is more than I'd like to spend every time I come get a bottle of bourbon. But I would definitely recommend it. It was really good. Definitely above the normal like Basil Hayden price point, but as something to have and have once in a while, I would definitely recommend it.
I got about two sips left of my best bottle of bourbon, and I got to move on to another one. That's going to be pretty sad. But today I'm drinking a really, really nice fancy schmancy Montepulciano, and then ironically I'm washing it down with I've got two Swingin' Friar ales from AleSmith sitting here. It's going to be a little bit of a weird transition there, but that's what I had.
Chad, what would you compare that to as far as like a Pinot, Cab, Merlot, red blend?
It's really like a better Chianti. It's like a better version of Chianti.
Okay. Because I always hear that name, and I know that's a good wine, but I don't know if I've had one yet.
Yeah, it's pretty smooth. It's hard not to like Italian wines because they're just really smooth and easy to drink wines. They have a good flavor. It's not like they don't have flavor. They don't have like a ton of bite or pepper or anything on them, so pretty great. So yeah, it's gonna be weird switching over to this beer after drinking two glasses of this while we talked about what we would talk about today. And so I don't expect
the people haven't signed up for our Patreon to get the
Yeah, that's where the good stuff is, by the way, guys. And you'll never hear it but in little baby teaser clips. So, all right, well, we better get the meat of this show started. And we will start with Dale. You wanted to go deep, deep, deep into the sexual allegations for Deshaun Watson. Is that just kidding? So we know that is like the biggest story in football right now. It's obviously the biggest story for the Browns. We're not going to really touch it for two reasons. One, it's already been covered over and over, and it's I mean, you guys have heard from every radio host in town and every podcast locally and nationally, and I'm sure people have their feelings on it one way or another. But at this point, there's still so much that we don't know and so much to go out. And the reality is we're not going to be able to add anything to that conversation. But the other point is, besides it just being both a touchy subject that triggers a lot of people and deservedly so, and the fact that it's already been covered by everybody over and over again, the fact is there's a new quarterback in the building and we have to address it. So we're going to do it from a much more factual football standpoint, because I think that's the part where we can actually dig in with some real talk and not just our opinions or speculation. So, so we won't get into the nitty gritty of that stuff. And over time, you know, we'll find more and more out, but we're going to hit it from a standpoint of, you know, it was a huge trade and we have a new quarterback coming in, and really globally, where the heck does that put us as a football team? And so the first section I just wanted to get to really quick was the fact that the Cleveland Browns were clearly not the only person willing to jump in and at least take a risk or inquire on this. So a lot of people got a chance to read, and some didn't, that report from Albert Breer. And in that report, it sounds like there was, I think, 13 total teams when all of the legal matters passed and it became clear that the Texans, who have been sitting on this for a year, were finally ready to be able to make this trade, in a position to do so as well. It looked like 13 total teams inquired, which is, to be honest, way more than I would have thought, because he's a really talented quarterback, but with the baggage and with the question marks and with suspensions possibly looming, I would have thought, I would have never put my money on the over 10. No way. Apparently the group as a whole, the Texans and Deshaun, cut that number down to about 8 teams that were a realistic possibility and opportunity for him. And then the team started taking offers, and apparently they had 5 that came in that were offering, and they've been asking this, right, guys, the entire time. We want 3 first round picks. This was not like a new thing. Since last year, and the Miami Dolphins almost went in on that, they've been saying, hey, who this guy, 3 first rounders or the equivalent to, and some players, that's what we'll take. Well, apparently there was about 8 teams that might have been willing to do that, according to Albert Breer, and they whittled it down. Deshaun whittled it down to 5 that he would be willing to at least listen to and consider. And we know those teams now, that became very public once, you know, they had to start flying to Texas to meet with him. One of them, the Texans shot down immediately for obvious reason. It was the Indianapolis Colts. There's nobody in their right mind that is trading a guy that can do the kind of things Deshaun Watson can do to a division rival. So that was never going to happen. I can't even believe they inquired. And then it came down to 4 teams. It was the Carolina Panthers, the New Orleans Saints, the Cleveland Browns, and then surprisingly, the Atlanta Falcons, which was a shocker to me and Kat talking about it. And so I just wanted to get into a couple details for, you know, he narrowed it down that the report came out that he initially said no thanks to Cleveland, and everybody's heard that, and then circled back. One thing I heard that I thought was real interesting was apparently Deshaun was the one who called Andrew Berry and just to personally say, hey, I love your team, I like the roster, you know, it's just, I don't think it's going to be a fit for me. So we're going to say no thanks. And then it kind of progressed from there. When we went down to the facts of who he chose, and you guys can kind of jump in at any point here to tell me if you've heard similar things. What we heard from this Breer report was he basically said, you know, I'm really more comfortable with these Southern teams. I live down here. I went to school down here. I play down here now.
He's from there.
Yeah, he's from there. It's just more comfortable for him, right? So Atlanta, we didn't expect, but apparently he was a ball boy there. Did you guys know that before this?
Not before, but it was in the articles.
Yeah, that was kind of a crazy thing. So it's like, and the owner just really likes him, and they thought they'd give it a shot. But it basically came down to one thing. I'm not super familiar with Cleveland, and I've been there one time in my whole life, and it was for, do you guys remember that monsoon game last?
It did not go well.
Yeah, in 2020, there was like that monsoon game where Baker Mayfield threw for like 125 yards and Deshaun Watson threw for like, or whatever the number was, and it was just nothing happened. And if that was your only, we were just talking about the weather in Cleveland earlier, and if that's your only experience coming here, you're probably thinking, pass, no thanks. But apparently they made a good presentation and he loved the roster, and Barry was followed up and said, you know, we're still interested. If you change your mind, let me know. And it came down to one thing, and that's where we'll kind of get into it. So it looked like the Panthers were the number one choice, right? Because the report came out that they wouldn't change his contract to guaranteed for the third and fourth year. He signed it 2 years ago. And so, they called the Browns back, right? And
yeah, I think the one thing in the report was we had actually called the team on another player. Or I'm sorry, we called his agent on another player. And the conversation kind of went from there. And I think what you were kind of alluding to there, Chad, is where they got was, here's the checkbook. And yeah. So it is interesting. There was a lot of nice things said about, oh, the team and the coach and this and that. But, man, I find it hard to believe that it was anything more than, like, we were willing to give what no other franchise was willing to do.
And they said it. They said they didn't talk contract till after he picked the team. Maybe you believe that. Maybe you don't. But the reality is they did say we'll guarantee the contract, whether they were going to change it or not. Now, Barry said specifically the reason we had to edit it is because we wanted to add another year. And to do that, we had to renegotiate. And so –
In the whole first year on a lower dollar amount, I know there's been a lot said about that. It's a pretty common thing that the Browns have done, though. I think it was maybe overstated a little bit as to what his initial first year base would be and things going forward. But that's been a pretty common
thing
that this front office has done over and over with contracts, which I don't think it was talked about. I think it was very much just, hey, they dropped the base over to cover him.
You're right. And that's why I stopped at the contract, because it was brought up by, I think, Jason Lloyd, that Nick Chubb's contract had a $1 million starting guarantee. And so did
Miles Garrett.
John Johnson and Miles Garrett. And the reason teams do that a lot of times is because the player wants that guaranteed money and a bonus, because then they just get it. And the team wants to be able to sign other free agents. So it puts them in an interesting spot as an entire build of the team, because they actually do, even though this is a much bigger paycheck, they actually do have some flexibility left and a little bit of cap space. So so pretty much, you know, we're leaving off not where we ended our podcast a couple weeks ago, with some cap room and ready to build a team. So, you know, with this being the case and him being the quarterback, I just wanted to go over the kind of the football perspective. So what you guys think he brings to the team just as a player on the field, and what that's going to mean for how we're going to run offense. I know Jim's got some questions about Stefanski, and I think all of us probably should, and the playbook. And what do you guys think, if anything, this will do to how we call plays and how we're going to run the offense?
It's hard to say, man. He hasn't been on the field in quite some time, so I don't know.
I'm interested. We let Hooper go, to the joy of many people on this podcast. And we've talked
look like a total idiot, because I said like 20 times we couldn't drop Hooper until the summer, only to find out there's a loophole and you totally can drop Hooper now and just –
You do it's called the, so what Chad's talking about is the designation. So there's the pre and post June 1st cuts that affect the cap. And but you actually have the ability to cut someone early and designate and basically make that count as a post cut. And I think from my research, you get 2 a year. So I was not expecting that either. But it's interesting to see what's going to happen. I mean, Stefanski's offense is, I don't know if we want to say run first, but it's very run focused. We re-signed our third string running back, so committing to the run. And
where was the commitment? The commitment when Baker was in there throwing 70 right. times a game? Like, I don't think
We love to say it's run first,
no.
but
is no, it? I'm qualifying there. I'm adding a qualifier. Like, that's what it's supposed to be, but it's going to be intriguing. It's a different offense now. It has to be, and hopefully for the better.
I'm with Jim immediately jumping in there and Chip backing it up, because I think what you can basically say is this team was built and constructed roster wise as a run first team. And then when Stefanski gets that playbook in front of him, he fades away from that so fast. And so it's kind of going to be weird to see, you know.
Or when he's got a point to prove to Baker, like, you're not the alpha here, you know. Like,
and we're going to get – we have a Baker section in this podcast. But essentially, if you were a Baker conspiracy theorist and you thought, hey, maybe they're just trying to screw him over because they want to move on and they want to show he's not the guy, holy cow. Better point now than you could 3 or 4 months ago. I mean, they're done with him. He's basically just.
And I'm not a Baker backer here. I'm like just Stefanski, man. I'm on his ass.
Yeah. We're all sort of in the middle on Baker. I think we vary a little, but we're all, I think, somewhere along the lines, and correct me if I'm wrong, is we think Baker can be pretty good when he's healthy, but he's got a lot of shortcomings. And we think the Browns did him no favors.
I think Baker dug his own hole, but he sure wasn't getting any help from the head coach.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally agree. They really did not run a game plan, A, I don't believe, for him, and B, especially when he was injured, you know, they didn't do him any favors with trying to kind of protect him, which we've seen a ton of teams do when their quarterback either has a major flaw or
look at the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens catered everything and adjusted everything for Lamar Jackson. And look at that.
And other teams have just looked at guys with shortcomings like Tannehill and said, you know, this guy can make a play here and there when we need him to.
We're going to run the ball.
As long as we run the ball. And even injured quarterbacks where they're like, you know, this guy's kind of banged up. His ankle is messed up. He can't move like he was. We're going to up the running game. This team didn't do any of that. They just, let's throw this kid out to the wolves and let him just fight for his life. And so, you know,
I think if he does end up going somewhere else, it's going to be like a Chris Carter, like Randy Moss type thing. And he's going to like, and I hate the stupid narrative of like the chip on my shoulder. Like that's what makes him bigger. I hate it, but it's going to be that ultimate, like F you to everybody.
It's going
to
be Detroit.
That's what happens when you win the Heisman and you're the number one overall pick. You just you have that chip of never being enough.
Come on. Oh, man. So
he ain't going to Detroit, Chip.
Let's just keep rolling with Baker. So first things first, because I think is we didn't get to have a podcast during that whole saga of Baker requesting a trade. You said he dug his own grave. Do you think that's part of it, Chip? Because I think him saying, like, writing his goodbye letter to fans and then saying, like, I really want to be traded, and then saying things like, you know, my number one target is Indianapolis. I think all of those things set him back. Because
it did, but that's what I mean by he dug his own grave. And I think playing injured dug his own grave.
But did you guys ask anything else out of him?
Well, hang on. Let me ask you this question. If he really – and, like, what was that week where he fully tore his
six.
Week six?
He tore his labrum in week two, and then he tore it worse and fractured his humerus in week six.
Okay, so let me give you a hypothetical situation. Week six, he decides to get full surgery and sit out the season. Are we having this conversation today? Is Baker our starter today?
Yeah.
I think yes.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. He dug
no,
his own grave.
No, I think he's gone.
You think so? I think coming off that 2020 season, if he gets hurt against Kansas City.
You're saying he come off of a playoff win and going into a competitive playoff loss, arguably should have won without that bad call.
Nobody would second guess him getting surgery for a torn labrum and a fractured femur.
I totally agree, but we're not the coach in the front office. And they, better than anyone, knew how injured he was and what he could or couldn't do. Like, if we're the ones who are sitting back here going, like, well, he shouldn't have played, I totally agree. There's plenty of blame to be put on the coaches for that. But, like, at the end of the day, they knew what they had. And their plan A was Watson, Wilson, Rodgers. Plan B was Baker, and they didn't have a plan C. So when Baker screwed that up and himself by whining and posting 9,000 word notes apps,
not something the Browns Kyle Murray does.
The Browns had to go back, right? So they immediately had to go back after being out and go, "Oh, we have no option."
I mean, this.
So I'm not going to dispute that. I'm not going to dispute that. But hold on, I'm not going to dispute that. What you said, Dale. But my thought is, to Chip's point, if Baker was out and their plan stayed the same, this guy, maybe if Baker was like off for that surgery, that doesn't come out the same as like trade me, get me out of here.
Okay, wait a second. So face value, after the end of the, I guess, 2020 season, great season by him. He was by all metrics top, 9 to 12, depending on the metrics.
They said
top 10 quarterback.
I just read
in the second half of the season.
Okay.
Yeah, I read in the second half of the season he was ranked like 5th, and total he ended up like 12th.
Because we had all those terrible weather
like
games.
31.
We had 3 weather games in a row that just should be be burned.
It was pretty bad. It was tough.
But at the end of that year, if you were given the option of Baker or Watson, nobody would say Baker.
But well, Dale, that's what I'm saying. Like it was a historical
the injury year. Like the injury year didn't make him seem better.
Yeah,
so
my only thing is if you're saying Watson or Baker, I think it's very rare to find somebody who's like. I mean, there's going to be somebody out there, but very rare to find an actual unbiased opinion that says Baker better than Watson. But the one thing you'll get is the Browns may not have pursued so hard if their last impression of Baker was while he was good.
We offered him a $30 million a year contract. He turned it down.
I heard that was false.
That's
speculation. We don't know that. That's speculation.
That. True and false. I'm really struggling with that one because I
mean, Joe Thomas was just reporting on it last week.
Yeah, I know.
So
local reporters
work that he does.
Okay, but local reporters have also said it was speculation and false. So
yeah,
we don't know.
They
said
that
really
the Browns denied it, but we'd never know because they would deny it. I think, but
we don't really.
Yeah, because offering him 30 looks bad right now. It doesn't.
But that's my point. So if he was out and they offered him 30, I don't know. It just makes me think they weren't totally out yet. The bad year made him out. And there's a lot of conspiracy to it, to the idea of. Listen to this point. Do you remember when Baker said specifically, like, I'll sit when I want to sit.
Yes, yes.
Nobody else
is
sitting me. And the next week,
Stefanski pulled his dick out and was like, hey,
he had to sit.
Head guy. Yeah.
Yeah. The next week he had to sit. And I had to wonder if he kept this is just my conspiracy theory. I wonder if the medical team said, hey, man, you probably should have this surgery. And the coaches watched practice and said, you're having trouble with this. And he just kept like, nope, I'm playing. And they said, you know what? You think you can play, you better go out there and play, but you better be good. And
like
he
an
wasn't.
Angry parent.
You know, what if they just said that, you know,
smoke this carton of cigarettes right now.
Yes. If you're going to make this a deal that you don't want to sit, then. And when he didn't, they said, you know, we let him dig his own grave because he's a stubborn ass. And then, now he's got to deal with it.
But Chad, I think it's both, man. He's a stubborn ass. And Stefanski's a stubborn ass, and I just don't think it was.
I mean, you're gonna have pair. It's the NFL. Yeah. It's a lot of alphas. Like that's you're gonna true. Have that, but at the end of the day, like,
but none of, but it's so
Stefanski needs to be an adult and sit his ass. Like Jim, I totally agree with you.
I
like,
agree.
At the end of the day, you take the goddamn ball out of his hand.
Yeah,
do it.
There's no fingers pointing at Stefanski in all these conversations.
Oh no, you have so media. Many fingers pointed at Stefanski. I agree.
One,
like
one story that is on national media or anything that is. Severely he's, criticizing
Stephen. Jim, he was coach of the year. That's just like shit. Just like Nagy was. And he is
and I'm
like,
not
like look at the history of coach of the years. It's kind of concerning.
You might as well be on the Madden cover.
Yeah. But it dude, it like it's driving me nuts because like there's a lot of finger pointing and I think in like the wrong direction. And I don't think Stefanski is getting the heat that he needs. And that's concerning to me.
I know I said this before, Jim, with your points, like he, like about next year and with Baker and all of that, which we'll never know.
But you know what?
I think the same goes for Watson, Brissett, whatever. Like we're going to get very quickly an idea of like, is he coaching to the players or is he like, this is my scheme and this is what we're going to do.
I'm telling you, that's
don't really care.
That is what he is.
So let me pause you here because
yeah.
I think this is a good time to say two things. We got to move on in a second, but one, I agree with both of you. And in the one thing that will define it is, well, now he's got a player that the entire NFL agrees is a top 10, if not a top 5 quarterback in 4 years of play. And he has a pretty who will get to, but I think is much better than Case Keenum.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to find out if Stefanski can coach or not, because if he can't coach this team, he's in real trouble, because it's easy to blame Baker Mayfield and it's easy to blame the coach. But now we have one variable changed. And if Baker Mayfield goes and succeeds and Stefanski stays here and doesn't, I think we all know who wins and vice versa. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that.
We're about to find out. So on that note, I'm going to start with Chip because I know he's already kind of said this. My first thought on Baker was, where do we either hope or think he goes?
I hope he goes to Detroit.
I knew it.
Yeah, well, that's like for a lot of reasons. Man, no, it's why? Not a death threat. They got a lot of stuff going for them.
Think of the fighting Dan Campbells.
Dude, his best year was coming off of Hard Knocks here in Cleveland. Let him have another year of Hard Knocks.
Oh my God, Chip! That would be amazing. That's the best idea I've ever heard in my entire life.
He's a good story, man. He's a fun follow. I'm just gonna throw this out there. I'm actually gonna miss the press conferences and the follow and the quotes and the chugging beer and the games. Chip, I'm gonna miss everything about Baker off the field for sure.
I was thinking about this too. Like the reason this whole situation and everything is so hard is because like Baker, he personified Cleveland. He like fit everything.
Very likable to us.
Yeah, but and that's what we wanted. And it's like being in a relationship with somebody who you know isn't the one. Like they're a lot of fun, and yeah, like maybe the sex is great, and it's like awesome, and like you have a lot of fun. But there are some things like when you go out drinking, and all of a sudden like that,
there's a lot of red flags.
Yeah, that crazy comes out. And you're like, oh fuck, you know. And that's
like, you know what's fun to make to your point?
Yeah.
When you're having a really good time and everything is going well, that particular vibe
is great.
Best.
Yeah.
As soon as times get hard, you're like, oh, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah.
It, like, oh,
when
God.
It comes, yeah. I mean, when it comes down to like the end here, you're not like you're focusing on like your brain shifts. It shifts gears into thinking like, what could have been like, and you automatically like go to think of like what that perfect person would look like. And that just never was Baker. Like that perfect person that everybody in Cleveland was envisioning isn't just who he is. Like you think of like those good things and like, yeah, he did a lot of good things, but like Super Bowl winning quarterback. I don't think I don't think that's him.
Chip made a good point one time where he said, I really just wanted it I wanted the Browns to win organically, and I wanted it to just like work with Baker. And I can totally relate because
yes.
I feel like it would have just felt so good for a kid like does. That. To
well,
win.
It was like when he first so came out, he was like, if anybody's going to turn Cleveland around, it's me. And he came out
for a
and like
he did,
he owned it. And to me, that's Cleveland.
it's making a statement early. It's making it's standing up for us. It's fighting for us. It's not accepting a major contract for us.
Yes.
It's being drafted here and saying, I'm going to get you guys out of this.
Yes.
You like that? And like that meme of that guy looking at the cat in the window. I'm going to get you out of here.
But Chip, like you're right, man. And that's the issue with Deshaun Watson. Like, yes, he has these allegations against him, but he's not who we picked. And he's not like, he's this outsider coming in, and hell yeah, he is really fucking good. But like, we don't know anything.
He also can't. Yeah, no, I agree. And this is all speculation too, but I think that contract had a lot to do with it. He originally turned us down. You dropped $230 million guaranteed, and now he's coming. So that's not the same organic.
I don't know, man. Chip, yes. I'm not taking a raise to come back to Cleveland. but like a really big raise?
Yeah.
We can talk about that.
Yeah, and I think the contract had a lot to do with it. They could say it didn't all they want. I mean, but the reality is
– Did it snow there yesterday?
Here's what's funny, though.
Didn't it snow way worse on the East Coast?
Hey, you know what? If Russia fucking nukes America, guess who's going out first, Dale?
See, I will not exist.
Also, didn't it snow way worse on the East Coast this year?
Yeah, we're driving in
like 10 times worse.
You pussies are fucking
driving. You really can't even use snow as an argument. You were buried.
If global warming existed, Cleveland is about to be.
My son's soccer practice got 20 minutes early because the guy walked over. He's like, it's too cold for me.
Yeah, when global warming happens, Chad,
everyone agreed.
I'm on it.
Like seven.
California
10, like,
and the West Coast is going underwater.
Hey, when you guys are all looking, when you guys are all looking
me and,
for
me and Chip are gonna have fucking ocean.
The whiskey's hitting. The whiskey's hitting here. Okay, let's
wait until everybody's looking for fresh drinking water, and they're like, "Hey, anybody by the Great Lakes? Can you spare some of that water?" And we're going to say, no.
Lake Erie don't water. Worry. Yum, yum, yum.
Remember that Chris Farley swill?
And I will have a monopoly on that shit.
Was that Bill Murray swill? Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray? Anyone remember that from like the 70s, 80s?
Yes.
Google Lake Erie swill SNL. It's the best like old SNL commercial ever. The guy's like in Waiters in Lake Erie. And he has a carafe and he picks it up and it pours out like clear syrup with like rocks in it.
It came up right away.
I mean, you guys have to, anyone, the one
that's
person who's left with us,
an all-star cast
and right you there. Four, it's phenomenal.
Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, two greats.
Oh, it's,
all right, guys, we're moving on.
No hyperbole.
And they are two greats. And Dale, send that link to me, or one of you send that link to me. I'll post it on our Twitter.
Everybody, I got it. I just saw it. I popped it up. It is pretty funny. Perfect. It is old. Okay. I see it's Bill Murray. It looks like a kid.
Oh,
so
he is. I love them, man. I think it's late 70s.
Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, so good. John Candy, throw him in there.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
And Chevy Chase can go to hell.
I was going to say, rest in peace to some of these guys. And Chevy Chase. Oh. So we got Chip's thinking Detroit. Wow, that took like – I just realized what a huge like curve. Chip is placing, is hoping Baker goes to Detroit. I'm thinking the obvious pick is Seattle. And I think when they watch Drew Lock do one practice, they're going to be like, I changed my mind about who I want to trade for.
Hey, you and watch your mouth.
$18 million is pretty good.
Didn't Pete Carroll already come out and say he's not a fan of Drew Lock?
He came out and he said,
Carroll's full of shit. He said so many things.
Oh, Pete Carroll's the biggest liar of all.
Listen to this. I got this locked down. He said, basically, we loved Drew Lock coming out of college.
Yeah.
He throws a lot of interceptions and he also just doesn't control the ball, which isn't really what we want to do.
He's like, look, if he's on Jim's fantasy team, if he's in Jim's dynasty team, we don't like him.
So, yeah, listen. So, a lot of my takes are coming strictly off of my fantasy team. Deshaun Watson. I am very concerned about Deshaun Watson, knowing that Kevin Stefanski is his coach. Very concerned.
If he's good enough, he'll make it work. He's had worse coaches. I'll just say.
What about Andy Dalton?
What do you think about Matt Ryan?
What is Jim has? Jameis Winston.
What is Andy Dalton doing?
He's starting for the Saints.
No, he's not.
Talk about good moves and bad moves.
Is he a Saint?
The Saints, yeah.
He's a Saint. Jim, they signed him for a $6 million contract.
And to go along with that, based on that contract alone, they just lost an upcoming third round comp pick for someone that they lost. So
that's a mistake. I'll say that's a mistake.
Yeah. So if you were like, hey, I really like Andy Dalton.
Hey, was Nick Mullins, was Mullins on the block? Because I would take Mullins equally.
I want to put on the record that Jim tried to trade me Jameis Winston for Jefferson.
Oh, no. Don't even fucking embellish this for me, jackass.
And then he tells me I can make an argument that he's better than all these other quarterbacks.
Better than any quarterback you have on your roster, Chip. You have Baker Mayfield, Mike
White. He doesn't have any quarterbacks, so that's tough.
You do have a pretty shitty quarterback roster, Chip.
Hey, okay, I have Baker.
Wait, I'm totally losing control of this podcast. I'm totally losing control. So let's roll around for a second. I'm saying Chip's saying he's hoping he goes to the Lions. I'm thinking for every reason I can think of, I want him, and I hope he does, and I think he will be most likely to end up as a Saint. Do you guys have a somewhere where you think he might end up?
He's going to stay on the Browns. They're going to eat the contract, and they're going to prove a point because Stefanski is an asshole. And
I'll tell you, I would do that. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Don't let him play anywhere.
And it's the best option because when there's a severe quarterback injury and somebody needs a trade, Baker Mayfield's going to be a very good target, and they can get that first-round pick that they wanted because he'll be healthy and they can reference the 2020 playoffs. And I like, honestly, that $18 million, I think you just eat that
because that's there's best no case scenario. That's best case scenario. That would be a dream.
That's worst case scenario.
There's but no hold him and get a first round for him later. Million. That's the dream.
No. We're not getting a first.
That's what Jim just said. That's a dream.
You ride this out.
I don't see it, but see them riding it out, and I honestly would never release him. If you have to pay the $18 million no matter whether you release him or not, I'd put his ass on the pup list and just sit on him and be like, no other team gets you. You play next year.
Yeah.
Where's it going, Dale?
So I don't know if I'm the team fit is tough, but I think if there's a deal, it's draft day. So I'll lay out a scenario. So I'm totally gonna cop out on a team, but I'll lay out the actual scenario in which it happens.
We don't do pussy moves on this podcast.
Yeah, no, that's totally what this is. So I think it's a draft day deal. Someone misses out. So we've talked ad nauseum kind of
pause
offline.
Pause. Are quarterbacks in this draft better than Baker Mayfield?
No, none of them are, not even close.
Okay. I agree.
That's perfect. So someone, because there is such ambiguity in this draft in rankings, in mocking of where guys are, like there's Willis is going top 10. There's maybe two guys go in the top. There's Pickett at 15. Most of like the mock, I think it's mock draftables, has most of the guys in like the mid to late 30s. So Ritter's that top of the second round. And no, he's not going in the first three rounds. That's not happening. But I just want to make sure he's clear.
Yeah.
But it's someone is going to miss out on who they thought they were going to get. And we're going to end up with like some type of like pick swap or Baker for like a fourth and we give back a fit. Like, it's going to be one of those. It's going to be a draft day. It's not going to be higher than a third. I think we're getting like a fourth through whatever.
It might even involve a swap.
I don't know where it is.
That's a steal for somebody. Question. I'm just going to say that's a steal for somebody.
No, I agree that it is, but here's the problem. We have no leverage. We have nothing.
I'm not saying it won't happen. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that couldn't be a very likely
It's not
scenario.
Being talked Somebody's about enough. Like, steal. There's all these dumb Mary Kay whatevers like, Browns are willing to accept less than a first. Well, yeah, because who would offer a first? Sorry, but the Commanders are dum-dums and already offered two-thirds for Carson Wentz and his $28 million contract. And Chris Ballard just keeps talking about how they couldn't get away from him fast enough with no plan. If you're the Commanders, you hate yourselves because you gave up two-thirds
That's a stupid
for
team.
Legitimate trash that two teams have said, we can't even deal with him as a person. Yeah, get him away from us.
They hate him in the locker room. I don't know what he's doing, but they hate him in the locker room, Carson Wentz.
Like, and the second team in a row.
I know all that. I almost pulled the trigger for Carson Wentz.
I mean, I think
on the field he can play, but teams.
I know.
Dale, I was really close to the foot chip. Dale, you don't know how close I was to pulling that trigger. I sat and actually almost really wanted to pull that trigger.
I would take him.
You sent the offer and then pulled it before I could accept.
You sent the offer, Chip, you asshole.
I sent that offer.
Oh,
you stupid idiot.
But still, like, no, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Rivera, like, Rivera seems like a legit coach. Like, maybe he does something. But
can I ask this question?
They're dumb for what they gave up. Like, would you rather give up $28 million next year and 2/3 for Carson Wentz or nothing for Baker?
If you had. If you right now, what would you, not as like GM or anything like that, like what would you be happy if you got out of Baker Mayfield? Where would you like to see him go pick wise or what? Like, would you honor his request to go to a team based on like,
no, he gets nothing from me as a, from a GM as a trading partner, highest offer. Yeah. Highest offer, but like a third would, I don't think we'll get. I really don't think we will because we just don't have leverage. Not that he's not worth it.
So a third value has
no standing here.
Can I ask you a question? Let me ask you a question that I still don't understand. I always hear this term that Cleveland Browns will pay a portion of his salary. If we pay a portion of his salary, does that hit our cap room or is that out of Haslam's pocket?
Yes.
It'll hit our cap room.
Yeah.
But I don't – so I'm going to claim ignorance. I don't know. I guess if
it would have to involve a – pussy today.
You would have to – it would have to involve a trade and a contract.
What would they basically do? They'd restructure the contract so the Browns pay a portion and
– Yeah, you have to restructure just like we did with Odell.
Right. Correct.
Dale's like, going to tell you a lot without telling you anything. But I.
What do you mean? Like, if the Browns got a third for Baker Mayfield, I would be ecstatic.
Dale's damn, a press Dale. Guy.
No,
Dale's
but I think that I think that we're ultimately we're going to have to pay a portion of his contract. That's why I asked that question.
Maybe not. If
no one's going to take him for $18 million.
I'm telling you, I'm sitting on Baker for the $18 million this year, and I'm holding out for a one or two.
It's cheap, yeah. For a player $18 million that's
going to be healthy. 1 year for Baker is a phenomenal deal. Yes. We should be making out like bandits.
We should rephrase that. Yeah. I mean, if Detroit still has to figure out what they're going to do with Jared
Goff. Not this year. No, they don't. Not this year. They don't.
That's not the deal.
How does Jared Goff still have a job? Can we talk about that? Like, how does he still have a job?
Baker's better than that. For a second, we didn't prep enough to do this, but I'm just going to say off the top of my head, I can think of about 10 quarterbacks that I think Baker Mayfield outplays in this league.
Yes,
it doesn't matter. That's the thing that gets overlooked.
Baker did that.
He screwed us on leverage, which I don't blame him a bit, but he screwed himself.
Yes.
Okay, so we only have about 10 minutes left because I know Chip has to go, so we better move on here. Here's what I want to go through. We passed Baker. He totally screwed us. I think he has a great place in Browns history once he's gone. I think people are all over the place on him now. I think once this Deshaun Watson thing works out or once the team goes a different direction, once Baker's somewhere else, people will have kind of fond memories of Baker Mayfield from just that like 2018, where he surprised everybody, 2020, where we had that great playoff run. I think the end result will be people have some memories of a very short stint of like some fun Baker Mayfield times. Case Keenum, who you guys know I absolutely have been done with from like day two, is now gone. He is a Buffalo Bill, and have fun with that. I hope that Josh Allen never gets hurt because at least with Mitch Trubisky, the Buffalo Bills had a quarterback with an athletic ability to try to mimic that offense. Case Keenum is just a guy in the room to keep you afloat for a game or two.
Case Keenum is a third string. Barkley is going to take the two job.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know.
I don't know. I just am not. I've never been impressed with Case Keenum. I thought he was just mediocre. No,
he was
with
good.
No,
he was good
like,
in Minnesota,
upside.
where he had his longest tenure.
He
was
had
good.
One. Yeah, and he had one standing year, and I
but
just
it's like
think,
Nick Foles, man. It's like Nick Foles.
But the difference is because some people compared him to Baker. The difference was Case Keenum's 32 and Baker Mayfield's 26 or whatever. Yeah. It's like there's a very big difference about how much better you can get versus, oh, now you're on the downslope. I hope you haven't hit your stride. The Browns brought in Jacoby Brissett. What do you guys feel about the move? Because in my personal opinion, I feel like this was 100% based on the idea that we need somebody who might be able to mimic Deshaun Watson in case he's injured or suspended.
That's 100% why.
Right? It's just sort of like this guy.
And Jacoby Brissett is going to win you games.
Yeah. Isn't he a proven winner? What, four out of his last five games?
Yeah.
And also,
he
knows.
For two full years.
Yeah.
And he knows he's going to probably get a chance to start here.
It's a good shot. Good
shot.
Yeah.
I mean, we said we needed an adult in the room. And
they denied that so hard. Pretty believable story.
It is believable because, I mean, given everything that happened.
Whoever said that got that leaked is fired.
It just furthers that story that, like, they just didn't get along with Baker. Maybe he's just – they just didn't see eye to eye.
Jacoby's nice. He has his limitations, as with most quarterbacks in the NFL. So you'll have that. But, like you guys said, like he was a starter. Chip, you said what, four out of five? That sounds awesome. I'll take
his PFF score last year was his best one by. It wasn't even close.
You could look it up.
Not terrible, but it was his best one.
You could look it up, buddy. I think he had five starts last year, and he had four. He won four of them.
Nice. I didn't know that. That's awesome. I've not been down on that signings. The Keenum signing to me was always like, okay. Sure.
Keenum reminds me of just that guy you bring in as like the quarterback coach that
you bring him in as a coach.
The Keenum thing was like the insider like hire thing. Like, hey, my buddy knows the hiring manager. My buddy knows the hiring manager. You want a job here? It's like
I bet he would text Stefanski like, dude, yeah. Baker didn't get here till like 6:55. And then he totally left at also 6:55.
He's
just his inside man.
I mean, that was maybe slander, but yeah, I
reckless.
I mean, no, Keenum's a good guy. I like the dude, but
Keenum's a fine guy. I just was never.
I mean,
just,
we were
you know
all
I hated
rooting
about
for him to play most of the season. Let's be real.
You know what I hated
like,
about
we're
Keenum?
Like, more Keenum.
I was
Browns fans were convinced Keenum was better than Baker, and that used to drive me fucking insane. I hated that narrative, and I think that's what killed me about Keenum was all the Browns fans were like, Baker sucks, put in Keenum and we'll go to the Super Bowl.
Baker sucked, but you had Keenum, who was at least a playoff quarterback. Like, he could have done something, but for somebody like the way the Cleveland fans were looking at that is that you had somebody who was coming off a playoff year and something we've never seen in our life. Like, yes. And the dude like legitimately like fit the mold of Cleveland. He was willing to be here. He wanted, like, he embraced it. He was like, he was us, man. And so we were protective and we're like, get this fucking guy out of here. Like, take a break, calm down, like settle down, get Keenum in here, get yourself together and let's go. Like, let's do this.
Yeah. I would have bought that if I thought Baker could have came back, but I think that injury was going all year.
You shut Baker down. Like, I think I feel like that's what Cleveland wanted. Like, shut him down and let him come back. Yes,
but so I don't know. I think everybody's on the on board with the Jacoby. That's awesome. We already covered Hooper. He is gone. Let's go over a couple quick guys that are gone and in, and figure out what the Browns need to do. Because first of all, tell me, is it just me or is this like the quietest that? All this whole free agent, we'll just put quotes around it. You can't see me, air quotes. This whole quote free agent period has been giant trades of quarterbacks and superstar receivers and almost no like big free agent news. And I don't think it's just because of the Browns. Like, who are the giant free agents that traded teams? There's like very few, but it's just, Tyreek Hill got traded. He's a huge name. Davante Adams got traded. He's a huge name. Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. But free agency, snore.
Well, I think the problem was just that the trades were just that much bigger.
I want to see chips. I want to see
chips
work on this.
The biggest name guys don't get to unrestricted. So, I mean, A-Rob was a big deal. Like, it's not talked about a lot. I guess we'll find out pretty quickly.
So the Chargers?
Yeah.
Not Chargers. Rams. Rams, yeah.
I mean, we'll find out how that goes. Like, is he washed or is he not? It shouldn't take long to figure that one out.
Yeah. I think he's fine. I think it was just an injured year.
No, he's probably washed. We'll talk about that later.
No.
But the biggest guys don't hit unrestricted. So
I do want to say
it's tough.
Sorry about this, but like the A-Rob, like Chad and Chip, this is totally off topic, but the fantasy receiver like lottery, you guys have the best fantasy receivers.
Ooh, yeah. Everything went well for me in the offseason.
I look at
Tua
your team.
Got,
I literally.
My
I
receivers
literally,
that were all free agents either went to better teams or the other receiver that was taking their targets left.
I look at your teams kind of fell in place. Daily and I'm like, motherfuckers. And then I look at Chip and he's got three goddamn picks. And I know he's picking receivers. And I'm like, you fuckers. Like,
nah, probably not. I'm probably going two quarterbacks and a running back.
I'm taking all the receivers.
Okay, oh God, perfect. Chip. Then we're in great shape. Please do that.
Hey, say goodbye to Olave.
Please take anybody but receivers.
Ultimately, it all depends on where people go. But let me just let me get back on topic to the free agents here and ask you a question.
Yes.
I have two takes here, and one of them is, who do you take, Landry or Will Fuller?
Fuller.
Cole, can I pause first? Can you guys tell that I'm kind of drunk and laying down for the rest of this podcast, or do I sound the same?
You sound
the same.
Perfect.
We're good.
Okay, keep
Let's
going.
Roll.
The reason I asked that question is because you obviously have Cleveland fandom, me included, that love Landry and want him to win here in Cleveland. Two, yeah. Will Fuller already has chemistry with Deshaun Watson.
Will Fuller is good.
And Will,
I'm just going to put my butthole on the fence like Dale and say both.
Or you got to pick one. You obviously don't.
Will Fuller.
I'm just saying this. I think Will Fuller is going to be the better bargain because his upside is way higher and you want a multi-year deal. But if that
And he's 27.
Happen,
he's 27. He's younger than Jarvis.
Yeah, you could do a 2 or 3 year deal. Give but if they the can't make that steroids. Happen, which would be my preference, and Jarvis Landry came back on a 1 year, I would be okay with that because I think he still fits this team as long as he's not a number one, and he'll probably become number three. But I am definitely on board with Fuller. He's got chemistry with your new quarterback, and they had amazing seasons together. And I think coming off some of the injury problems, he may be the much better deal at a young.
Right. Now, if we get George Pickens at pick 44, I'm taking him pick two.
That's the reason we may not be grabbing receivers is because there's so many in this draft and they're definitely going to be able to get somebody of at least moderate talent. And this was a great point. You know who made this point? And I want to say, I think it was, I hate to say it, but I think it was Nathan Zagura. He said, the thing that you have to remember is when you put a lot of draft picks into bringing in a quarterback that you think is a superstar, the goal is he's going to make receivers better and you shouldn't have to pay expensive free agents and draft at the top of the draft because he should be able to make guys that we didn't expect, like Will Fuller, much better. And that could be the case.
All right. So then the next topic with free agency I have is the only last area of concern I have that's glaring at me is defensive line. And it doesn't limit to defensive tackle. It's also that defensive end piece.
Chase Winovich is not the answer.
That's why I said, yeah.
Chase Winovich is a very nice piece of depth. And he fits that Browns model perfectly of this guy was drafted pretty high. And he showed good numbers at the beginning, but kind of fell off. Maybe we can reclaim him. And that's failed a little in the past, and it's worked a little in the past, but it does fit their model. And he's not the answer, but it's good depth. They really need a starting defensive end. Are you guys all counting on it being Clowney? Because I'm hoping it is, but I'm not counting on it.
I think Clowney is in with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I agree. I think Clowney's in. I just think the lack of talk about Clowney is actually a good thing right now because nobody else is going for him, which tells me it's probably us. We're just trying to get the numbers right.
I hope you're right, because first, two things. I love Clowney the most when he's playing for something, but I refuse to be the Browns fan who just puts him on the roster, assuming he's there, because I know if somebody makes him a big offer, he's gone.
Yeah, I think he's gone. But honestly, who is making him a big offer? I don't think anybody is.
I haven't heard a peep yet, and I would have heard it by now.
Yeah, nobody is.
So in case you guys didn't know, Chip is incredibly plugged in. He would have heard.
I would have been contacted by.
He would have heard.
I value Chip's emotional takes a lot
I don't think the podcast would be anything without them.
No, I know. So, I agree.
But you guys would feel pretty comfortable with Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, and fill in the extra depth piece.
Oh, yeah. I would be happy with that. We still need D tackle, but yeah.
So you're not sold on Tavern Bryan, who's a player that I definitely have been familiar with.
No, that's definitely a real person for sure.
Wait, what about our center?
We did just pick up a new center, and I'm not surprised though, because with dropping Shredder, I still expect Harris to be the starter, but you were not going into this season with one center. I think it's Pochich, right?
Yes.
Pokic? Am I saying it right?
No, Pochich.
It's Poke It.
Poke It?
It's not.
It's
Pochich. What are we doing? Are we doing Ukrainian? Are we doing Polish? Like what? How do you pronounce this?
If we're doing Lithuanian, it's you definitely had the itch.
It could be either one.
So Winovich, Pokic. I'm starting to see a theme. Besides picking early round guys who did well at the beginning and faded off, Barry also likes guys who are itch. Pokic.
That makes sense.
So we did bring in Tavern Bryant though, and to make that same point, he was
I like Tavern.
No chance it's Tavern.
I like Tavern.
No chance.
I hope it's Tavern.
I'm going Tavern.
This. As a Cleveland player, Tavern.
Tavern. You know what? Oh, that's my favorite guy. That's my favorite guy.
Tavern Bryan.
Now like Tavern.
He fits the mold of a pick that came out with pretty good draft status, played really well at the beginning, and then faded off. He's another reclamation project. I won't be shocked with our defensive line if he ends up really getting in there. If the Browns don't pull off, and we don't have a first-round pick anymore, if they don't pull off somehow a starting defensive lineman here, I don't know how we're going to run a steady defense or stop the run. That is the biggest of the weaknesses. I hope they have a plan. I'm going to trust Barry.
No, I'm sure they have a plan. It'll be interesting to see. I am intrigued to see where the deals come post-draft, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of news from now for the next month, basically, because the draft's in
March.
So I don't think there's going to be a lot of news for free agents or trades until the draft is over, the dust is kind of settled, and then some of these guys
looking at everything now, at where our team is and where free agency is, if there was like one move or two moves that you can make right now, who would you bring in and what would you do to like make you happy with our team? Like if there was nothing else that happened and you went into the draft, what would make you happy?
Well, Jim, I think more importantly than who we're bringing in is who we're moving out. And that would be Baker Mayfield. We need that $19 million to start making moves.
We have 12 with him, which is not ideal.
Could we get that?
How do we get Akeem Hicks for $12 million? Because that's the move that I had been hoping for.
I would like Clowney back. If you gave me like, hey, who do we get as like a free agent? I would say run it back with Clowney. Chip has a really good point with that. We're not stone dead if Baker's on the cap. We have $12 million, I think, to to sign our picks and not having a first actually helps us in the weird way. But like, we can't get our picks plus Clowney with 12.
Right.
So
I think the defensive tackle I'm hoping we pull a deal here with is DJ Jones. And the problem is we're going to probably have to offer him upwards to $10 million a year, and we're not going to be able to afford that without dumping out Mayfield.
I was so disappointed to watch this offseason, and I know we can't sign everybody. That was a stupid thing for me to even think. But watching the free agents get picked up one after another on that list of guys that I wanted – was really tough, because like I said, I feel like we made some trades, but in free agency we didn't do very much, and just watching those guys move from piece to piece, from place to place, and them just get checked off my list one at a time without us getting any of them, especially at defensive end and defensive line, was like, oh god, what are we gonna do there?
I do have a quick yes no for question for everyone.
Okay.
And that's all you get.
Yep.
I'll go around the virtual room here. So are you comfortable with DPJ as our number two wide receiver, Chad?
No.
Jim?
Yes. And I was going to
make a trade. You stop talking.
I was going to make a trade offer to Chip.
No.
Okay. All right, hey, that's good for you two. You two talk offline.
Chip, I'll send you a third. Need
some more development, but
I think he's a good slot. No, I'm not ready either. I want a second.
No, he's not a slot. Don't go there. He's downfield.
I'll give you a second.
We'll talk. In a slot.
I have all the seconds.
I would rather just to mention, by the way, I was really worried about offensive tackle, and the Browns did bring back Hubbard, which we talked about in a long time ago on a podcast, of that being a possibility with him being recovered from that injury. To me, that makes me feel much better. I know he's not amazing of a player, but he can play in the zone scheme, and he's been here before. And with me being so worried about Conklin making it back for the beginning of the season, if he makes it back to playing shape at all, them signing that makes me feel a lot better as a placeholder in case these young kids can't get themselves up to speed.
And one thing about our line, like, it's not Baker back there anymore.
Yeah.
Watson literally took a bus to a game states away because he couldn't breathe because his lungs would explode if he got on an airplane. Like,
yeah, was that a puncture? What was that? There was something like that.
Yeah, he couldn't be on an airplane. It was. He had to take, I think it was a bus to New Orleans. I could be wrong, but it was somewhere in that area.
It was close. Tampa or New Orleans. It was somewhere like that.
But he had him and like Russell Wilson had notoriously just horrible offensive lines while still being productive. So we're not in the same position we were, where like if Baker didn't have 6 seconds, like just end it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So I guess it's not quite as big of a thing as it was before. But side note, we did bring back Walker, which I think was a really smart move. He was a good price, and he well in that linebacker room, and I expect more out of JOK. I expect more out of Jacob Phillips. But man, to have a veteran like that smart and that good of a leader, and he had his like a really good year with the Browns last year. So we kind of downplay sometimes, I feel like, when the teams bring back their own free agents as a signing, but both of those are pretty impactful. Chip, how you doing on time? You got to get out of here pretty soon, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So to wrap it up, besides the fact that free agency is still rolling, the draft isn't for what, another month?
1 month. It's the 28th.
So in a month,
my favorite tradition, my favorite annual tradition is that Laura ruins the thing that I love by having her birthday on the draft every single year.
Dale, we used to have so much fun going to watch the draft. What a blast.
That was the day I met her. And then she somehow every year is surprised that it's something that I enjoy doing.
Yeah, bummer.
Yeah. Well, it's okay because we don't have a first round pick.
That makes it way better. Actually, that's a huge difference. So yeah, it's going to be a weird, boring draft without having that.
But no, no, the draft's going to be crazy and exciting because we're dynasty degenerates, just not for our real football fun.
Well, I've studied so many of these players. I'm really curious to see where they actually go. So,
non-football or anything related, this summer, would you gentlemen be willing to do a bourbon trail trip?
Not only would I would be willing to do that and a live podcast
while we're doing that
from the bourbon trail.
From the bourbon trail,
video.
I love that idea.
Video. I'm in. I'm dying for a guy's weekend.
It would probably need to be closer to like summer for me. Just
that's what I'm saying. No, it would like be probably like July.
Can't be very long.
Let's get it in the works.
I want to do it.
I'm sure the audience doesn't want to hear us discuss our vacation plans, but
dude, there's got to be at least 6 of our 8 listeners that want to hear us live from the bourbon trail.
Yeah.
Who would want to hear us yell?
Actually, I think probably a lot of people like our bourbon takes more than our sport takes.
That's what I'm saying.
They're probably more accurate. So they're definitely more accurate.
Let me ask you this. If you had your pick of like 2 distilleries that you would want to go to, what would they be?
I think we go to Lexington and figure it out, but we'd have to probably look around.
Buffalo Trace would be one of them for me.
Where's that at?
I've already been there, Jim, but I would go there again in a second. It's a beautiful place.
Where's it at?
It's in Lexington. They're all in Lexington.
It's all Lexington.
60% of the distilleries in this whole country are in that exact town or surrounding it. It's awesome.
That's fine with me. Do they have a Jefferson
They don't have boats there, Chip. They don't have boats. Nowhere for the ships to dock and offload from the
any of them been past. Signed by the Declaration of Independence or anything?
And also, hey.
This podcast has been off the rails for at least like 60% of the podcast.
Hey, so this is another requirement. Like as we do, like if we agree to do this trip, I would like us all to buy fresh, like New Balance, or as Chip's dad John has, the Nike Air Monarchs.
Oh yeah,
I want us to have jean shorts and cell phone like pocket clips
belt holsters.
Yes.
You know what's funny about Jim? You know what's really funny about my dad though? He doesn't get the joke. You can point it out to him and he still doesn't get it.
Dude, Chip, when he came over and did the electrical work in the garage, he had those like crisp, clean Air Monarchs. And I was like, oh my God.
Jim, he won't get the joke if you tell him the joke. He thinks those are good shoes that he got out of a deal.
What are you talking about? These are comfortable.
Yeah, these are good shoes. I got a deal.
And you know what? As I get older, I can't argue with that point anymore. Yeah. I can't argue with it. I used to be able to be like, yeah, they look stupid. But now I'm like, oh, fuck, man, that feels good on your heel.
Yeah.
That's really comfortable.
And for $29,
my bunions are feeling better than ever.
And for $29, you can't beat it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You guys are the worst. Oh, man, I'm dying over here. All right, guys. Hey, let me just say, this turned into a disgusting mess by the end, and that's exactly what I'm in it for. Everybody listening who made it this far, like and subscribe at Coast, the number 2, Coast X3, Coast to Coast times 3 podcast. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Like and subscribe. If you guys can handle this kind of a podcast, then you're in for a treat for the rest of the off season and going forward, because this is what it's all about.
Well, it was nice talking to you guys again.
Thanks everyone for listening.
I hope your butt's okay from sitting on the fence. I don't think you were that bad.
We'll see.
Well, Jim. Okay. All right. Inappropriate. All right, fellas.
All right.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.